See, they have, these two have communication. I had nothing about this poem. Well, a couple weeks ago, in Sunday school, as we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we were reading a verse, and it's verse 9 through 11. And I read it, and I thought to myself, wow, that made me really think about something for me. So I'm going to read it to start today, and then I'm going to tell you what the title of this sermon is. But first, Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share your word today, Lord. And Lord, thank you for helping me write some things down at midnight last night and this morning at 7 a.m. because you knew that I wasn't finished. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I want to give you all the praise and glory for it. Amen. Okay, here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now the title of this sermon is, Who Do You Think You Are? When I read that, and I read all those things, I thought, well, I certainly hope that I never am any of what they're listed here. Because a lot of those seem like they're really pretty bad guys. But then I got to thinking, you know, maybe in my younger years I was some of those things. Because, you know, at the end of the verse it says, that's what some of you were, not what you are now. But, you know, as I got to thinking about it, I got to thinking, well, what do people think? Who do they think I am? You know, what does the world think I am? And it got me to, you know, going back to, if someone comes up to you and they say, they introduce themselves into you, and what's usually the first thing they say? Well, what do you do? You know? Well, for years I was Mike Metz, the car salesman. Or Oscar was Oscar Bowling, the machinist. Or Clyde was Clyde, the chemical worker. Parker now is Parker, the producer. But before he was the producer, what was he? It was Parker the student. What were you before you were a chemical worker? What were you before you were a machinist? What was I before? What were you, Geraldine?
Landlord.
Landowner, you know, property owner. You know? Those were the things that's what the world does. That's the way the world sees you for who you are. Or they'll see you for, okay, he's a father and he's a, you know, a family man. You know, you see the political ads and they'll say, oh, he's a family man and he was a retired veteran and he was this. He's all those things. And yeah, that's what we are. We're all those things in the natural. We're all those things that people describe, say to us in the natural. But is that who we really are? And I think in a lot of ways, yeah, that's true. That's exactly who we are. Because when we're walking in the natural, the things that we do and the things that we do for a living and the way we live our lives, that's who we truly are in the natural. But there are two realities here. There's our natural identity, and then there's our spiritual identity. Now, do I want to be known for my natural identity? Yeah, probably. Because a lot of what we're known for is our accomplishments. And, you know, our pride gets in the way, but, you know, we like to be patted on the back once in a while and say, hey, good job, you know. Watch a football game or a basketball game or a sporting event, you know, and somebody does something really good, or a concert, you know, where the musicians are playing, and you come off the stage and guys are patting each other on the back and saying, way to go, man. You know, you did what you were supposed to do. Great job. You know, everybody likes the recognition. Let's be honest. And that's part of our natural identity. And that's part of our natural being. But what I want to be known for, over all those things, is my spiritual being. Now, what is that? What is my spiritual being? Well, my spiritual being, if you listen to the last of this, it says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Well, what does that mean? What do those three things mean? You know, for me, you were washed means I've been washed by the blood of the Lord. That means that my sins have been forgiven. Now, you know, I had to find the Lord for that to happen to me, even though even before I found him, he had already done the job. But I had to find him to recognize it. I didn't recognize that part of my identity. That's the important thing. I did not recognize it. And a lot of times I don't think we do recognize our spiritual identity, because we let the world grab a hold of us and we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off all the time, trying to figure out, we got to go here and got to do this and we got to do that. Excuse me, Margaret, I'm going to talk about you here. But when you came up and brought the batteries and Oscar, she got the batteries out of Oscar's pocket. It goes back to what we were talking about in Sunday school. Well, we got to submit to our wives, and they got to submit to, you know, it's all part of our natural identity, you know, the way we act on an everyday basis. But, you know, yeah.
She brought the power.
It's, yeah, the power, yeah. Who's got the power? But the truth is, we have to also identify with our spiritual identity. And as much as I hate to say that, sometimes we don't want people to see that. Maybe we're afraid that, you know, in today's world, you might offend somebody. And I hate to say that, because that should not be an offense to anyone. But also, if someone identifies us as a Christian, how many times have we heard this? Oh, he's a Christian. Why is he doing what he's doing? Have we heard that before, Randy? More than once?
I have been wore out.
Me too.
Okay.
Oh, my brother will wear me out about it, I can tell you that.
Now you're talking about professions, you know. Could you imagine Can you imagine?
No.
You know, public relations of any kind, no. All of the woke nonsense you're going to go through, can you imagine? Anything with R on it, H-R-P-R.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Yep. I've never been one either, and it's not on my agenda anymore. Of course, none of those jobs are on my agenda anymore. I've been fortunate to be able to, I take that back, retire. But you know something? There was a lot, and you can ask my wife over there, there was many years where I said to her, I will never be able to do this. I'll work for the rest of my life. And only by the grace of God did he allow it to happen. So I'm a happy person. But let's look at it again. Washed by the blood of the Lord, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So our sins are forgiven. We have great freedom with that, knowing that our sins are forgiven. All those things that I wrote down there that said that, you know, they were all those things I wrote that you are no longer any of those things because you were washed by the blood. You're a child of God. You're an heir to the kingdom. All those things are what we are. You know, I grew up the way I grew up. When my parents passed away, there was nothing to inherit. So I've never been an heir in the natural. But I'm an heir to the eternal, my eternal life with God. That's bigger. You can't write a check big enough. It's just, it's hard to imagine. But what does that give us? What does that mean? Well, it gives us a freedom to live. It doesn't mean it gives us a freedom to go out and be whatever we want to do whatever we want to do, but it does give us a freedom to live this life here on earth. And I like what, you know, we've said many times in the Lord's Prayer, like, you know, in heaven and in earth. Well, why can't we be living in heaven right here? Be living here. That's who I am. I'm living here on earth, but I am in God's heaven because he's allowing me to be free. You know, that was the first one. We're a child of God. Well, we've heard that said in this church 1,000 times. Why shouldn't we be a child of God? Well, he created heaven and the earth. He created us all. Where would I be without him? He knew us before we were ever thought of. Why shouldn't I be a child of God? Because he wanted us to be a child of God, his child. He wants to have us in his realm. That's what he wants. He wants us to be part of him. You know, us in God, us in Christ, and Christ in us. That's one. Wow, what an opportunity we have with that. And that is an opportunity to understand, if we can understand our spiritual identity, just with that statement. Christ in us and Christ in him, us and Christ. That we can walk with the Lord on the earth today, and we can reflect his being. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be known for being a Christian. He wants us to be known for that. He wants us to be known that we aren't just what we do for a living or who we are as whatever. He wants us to be known for people who walk in his law, in his status. And I guess status might be the wrong word. But in his being. You know, we should be overwhelmed with that. Overwhelmed. And I was looking at justified, and I thought, well, you know, justified can mean a lot of things. But the Greek word for that is dikaiou. And it means render just, innocent, and free. Now, justified in the Webster's dictionary is entirely different. It's a reputation for toughness. That doesn't sound like the same thing, does it? Done to me. But you know something? If we're rendered just, innocent, and free in the Lord, then we have a reputation of toughness because we can withstand the things that are brought through to us in this life because we can rely on the Lord. Whatever comes our way, we're justified in it because the Lord has rendered us free and just and innocent. And he gives us the strength and the toughness to handle the things that are going on in our lives. You know, you're talking about Donna going through this operation, and there's no doubt that there's worry and concern and all those things. But I know when Donna's going to be laying on that table tomorrow, she's going to be relying on the Lord to get her through it. And she's going to have her spiritual toughness to get her through that operation. And she's going to have Buzzy standing right there by her. And what's he going to be? He's going to stand up in the Lord that this is going to be successful and it's going to be fine. That's who we should identify with. Not just stand there and, you know, spew out words. That's easy. It's the inside, it's the spiritual part of it that is the most important identity we need to have. We have to rely on our spiritual identity to able to walk through our physical and natural identity and deal with what we're doing that, or we're just treading water. And you can only tread water for so long before you go down. And I'm not ready to do any of that. I'm ready to stand up and be tough for the Lord, and I want to do that. And the other thing is, you know, when we're talking about our identity, as I was saying earlier, we recognize for who we are and what we do. You know, none of that is permanent. None of that. But our spiritual identity is permanent. Once we give our life to the Lord, even if we falter, our spiritual identity is still there. Because we're going to make mistakes. And if you know somebody that's never done that, I want you to show them to me because I want to know how. Because it can't happen. But that's important to remember, that our spiritual identity, once we've given our life to the Lord, it's permanent. It doesn't go away, no matter who we are, who we think in the natural. But in the spiritual, we are still children of God. We're justified. We're washed in the blood. We're heirs to the throne. We're all the things that I've talked about today. We're all those things. And you know, anything that we've done in the past, put it in the past. You can't bring it back. Doesn't matter. You've given yourself to the Lord. And the Lord's saying, what are you talking about? I forgot about that. You know, he's only looking for us this way, not this way. I have this little thing around my neck here. I don't know if you can see that. My wife gave me this about 2 years ago. I don't know where she got it. It looks like an arrow, a little Indian arrow. I put this on every morning, and it reminds me that forget about the past and keep moving forward. Don't go backwards. It's really a spiritual thing for me because it keeps me going in the direction I hope that the Lord wants me to go. It helps me to, when I pray to him, that I can rely on his answers. We were talking about stuff in Sunday school today that really, I thought, went along with this. We were talking about how we pray for healing for people. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. And then we say, why aren't they being healed? How do we know they're not? Doesn't actually have to always be physical. Physical is nice. But it doesn't always have to be that way. You know, the Lord is moving in so many different directions, in so many ways, but it's all in one, and that's all for all our good. We could never understand his reasoning. Now, I don't want to understand it. I just want to rely on it. And that's where my identity should be, that I am relying on the Lord. I'm going to finish with this. And I thought, well, of all the places to find this, and it's in Titus, and it's 3:7. Actually, it starts in 6. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You know, I think that says everything what I've just been talking about today. It says right there, he saved us by the washing, through rebirth and renewal, changed our identity. He poured out on us through the Holy Spirit, and we were justified, we were freed, we were innocent, we were rendered just. And he gave us, and we became heirs to the eternal life. Those are all three. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, the Lord is just sitting here telling me every day. I've had a change in me in the last week, and I read a thing of all places, I'm going to tell you this. online, it said seven ways. It was the thing, it said seven ways. No. Ways, the way that Billy Graham read the Bible every day. And it said, read five Psalms, one poem, or one proverb, and one gospel. I started that last Monday. And that changed the way I think about so much stuff in my life that I can't go to bed without reading it every night. I do it right before I go to bed at night. I can't go to bed without it because it makes my life alive because it tells me I've read 20 Psalms now and four Proverbs and four Gospels. But what it's done is it's shown me that this natural life is nothing compared to what my spiritual life can be. So today, my question is, who do you think you are? And if you think what you do for a living and stuff like that is who you really want to be recognized as, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you really want to be recognized for who you really are, be recognized for your spiritual life, not your natural life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Have a good day. You want to pray?